2,000 languages?
Certainly. We'll start at 8 o'clock tomorrow.
Out the door and down the street she goes.
Parker, hello. You're fired.
What? Like I told Foggy, all we can do is move forward together.
Ohaku or Not covers the official handbook of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition, an encyclopedia series published from 1985 to 1988 by Marvel Comics. And we cover it with several panelists with little to no knowledge of the Marvel Universe, giving their first impressions of each character, its look, concept, and story. Warning, listener discretion is advised. Ohaku or Not is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. This is your host, Siskoid, and with me today are...
Amelie,
Isabel,
Natalie,
Elise,
José,
Shotgun.
Episode 25, Cypher to Daredevil.
Cypher.
I know him.
Really? Nope. Okay. Nope. I'm surprised. Doug Ramsey is a member of the New Mutants whose special power is the ability to understand any language in a matter of seconds, whether spoken, written, human, alien, or technological. That makes him particularly good at hacking and code breaking. Doug is a clean, all-American kid, quick to get crushes, and used to being left out of the action because of his intellectual superpower. Recently, relative to this issue of Ohatmu, he bonded to the techno-organic being known as Warlock, his best friend, seen below, next to a shot of Doug working at a desk, so he was able to get into the action as a combined human-alien creature.
I want that power now.
Awesome. Just not his friend.
Look at the face. Oh, God.
Is that teeth?
Is that a smile?
We'll get to him within
him?
The century.
Within the century.
He sounds boring.
A bit.
Yeah, his power is really cool, but his personality sounds a bit like meh.
He's like young and innocent and
boring.
Crushes.
Who has he had crushes on?
Kitty Pryde.
Okay.
But everyone had a crush on Kitty Pryde,
right,
from what I hear.
So he was us.
We are all Cypher.
Here's haircut is a bit, I don't know.
70s?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, like, he looks like he's like 50 years old. His face looks so old.
He looks like a dad.
He's supposed to be a kid, a teenager, but I don't know.
He looks like a dad, but he cut his hair to try and look cool.
No, my mind is like, he needs to have brown hair with like a little silver on the side, and it's like, your dad's cool, kinda.
But you see, in the pictures below, it looks really younger, I guess.
I don't know if it's the haircut or whatever,
but...
Well, his hair is disheveled when he's playing with alien being person Warlock.
Yeah. He looks like
friend
Cyndi Lauper.
No, yeah, he has some feminine threads in that picture. I agree.
So how do you know him, Idies?
Video games.
How does he play in video games?
I think he's just like a side, oh look, there's Cypher.
Oh.
The end.
Perfect.
I don't think he's not in the action, and he's not, you just kind of cross his path, and he
so he doesn't get
you
to fight Deadpool with linguistics.
No.
Okay.
Does it happen?
Man, I want to see that now.
It's like verbs.
Because those video games are all fighting, so.
Well, not necessarily. Like, not just melee fighting. Like, you can turn someone into a box. That's cool.
And I can't help picturing the box from Metal Gear Solid now. That was the best part of that game. I was walking around in box. Anyway, Cypher.
He's so boring, we can't help talk about something else.
Mm-hmm. His gloves look like dishwashing gloves.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Mr. Clean, do-do-do.
Oh my god, shave his hair.
And he's Mr. Clean.
He's Mr. Clean.
other brands are available.
Yes, other
Not a sponsor.
But, I don't know. I like his name.
Cypher?
Randy. Yeah, because it's for decipher, right?
Oh!
Right. I imagine. Although, yeah. Often a Cypher is like a very generic character.
I was just thinking of Billy Cypher from Gravity Falls, and I'm like, Billy's cooler. You're lame.
Again, we're not talking about him.
I know.
See how the sidetracking works.
I feel like he's not straight to the front. He has a little hip thing going on.
Yeah, he has.
I think that's okay.
Yeah, he has good posture. It's a nice...
There's a little, like...
It's acceptable.
Hello.
He has nice cheekbones, you know.
Boring cheekbones.
His costume is okay. I mean...
We're going to see that costume a lot.
Yeah.
It's the basic school uniform.
It's getting hard to, like, evaluate this costume.
I can't see the abs through it.
Of course he's blonde.
I don't think he has abs. He has abs in his brain.
What I do find...
Oh, actually, yeah.
Brain abs.
What I do find weird is how, like, defined his collarbone is compared to everything else. Like, why is that so
his neck's really big, too.
Because he has to speak other languages.
That makes no sense.
His vocal cords are just
huge.
I gotta speak alien in a way that, you know, humans can't. Got, like, super developed. Larynx.
What does he do on his free time? Like, read? Does he just, like, sneak into, like, pyramids and read
hieroglyphs?
Yeah.
That's not often available to teenagers, but yeah. I think he's a reader. He looks like a reader.
I wonder how did he discover that he had this? Like, how many times do you you realize you're understanding something but no one else is? Like, I don't know how you would figure this out.
It's like randomly you start talking to someone in another language and you're like, I understand you. Or like, can you talk to animals?
That's what I was thinking! Can he talk to cats?
Like, just one day he's like talking to peanut like, butter the cat and bam!
Hello, Mr. Cat!
Meow, meow!
What?
But of course I have treats.
Yeah, I think we can decipher that without the help of a mutant power. But you could talk to animals.
Yay! It's a real life Disney princess!
Well, real life.
She's a comic Disney princess!
It's a Disney.
He's close.
That was a cat.
That's disaster.
Cypher could have told us he was in danger.
He tried to jump the window and the window's closed.
Oh no!
Freaking cat.
You're gonna have to put a post-it or something.
My cat's an idiot.
Oh, you poor cat.
Boy, show.
But if he can read. If he can decipher
what just happened with the cat?
If he can decipher animal languages, that's pretty fucking cool.
I just want to bring him on trips. Useful. Okay, we're going to Japan, you're gonna figure everything out, and I'll just follow along.
But my question, my only problem with that is, imagine you're being hiking in the woods, and there's, like, bird chirping around. Wouldn't it be, like, overwhelming? You would hear these birds screaming at each other, like, fuck me. But
check these seeds! Hey! Tree! Well, it's a tree!
That's why we're there!
Tree!
So imagine how... Can you, like, just shut it off?
Well, it's not telepathy or anything, so it's like us in a crowd.
Oh, yeah.
It's just you understand what the signals mean.
There's just more
people. It's not like they're not drilling into your brain.
You don't have to tune it in.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like our first date would be at the zoo. And then the next time he's like, where do we go this time? The zoo.
Where are we going
next weekend? Where are we going this time? The zoo.
The petting zoo this time.
So with these new revelations, is Cypher hot or not?
Wait, I have a question. When he fuses with the
Warlock?
Is he actually useful in battle?
Well, like Warlock becomes some sort of like suit. Their brains synchronize, so they're both... They're acting in sync. It's a bit like a Pacific Rim kind of.
Yeah, they're in a Jaeger.
Yeah, sort of. So then he has the... Basically, he's using the powers of Warlock, which is like shape-shifting.
Okay, that's something. Does he enjoy it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's good for him. It's nice.
Yeah, it's his best friend. They work in tandem.
At least he has friends.
I'd be his friend. I'm friend-zoning him.
I'm clearly a fan of this physique, though.
Yeah.
It's not too bulky.
This is my physique type, and he's Cinderella, so I'm feeling that.
Me, literally, like, I'll go do the grocery, and I just bought this dye for your hair to go brown.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm just gonna put this next to your shampoo.
Decipher this.
Legit though. Dye his hair black. Fuck.
Oh. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Or like,
oh, yeah. I was thinking the same.
Officially, fuck me.
I think that's like how, like, dark brown. Like I said earlier, dark brown with, like, a little silver. It's like,
But he was a teenager. Why does he have silver hair?
Oh, yeah.
Who cares?
That's an anime thing. From Jose, that's an anime thing.
Can he decipher, like, if you're just, like, subtly giving him a message.
Exactly, that's where I was going.
Like, if you're just like, how was your date? Fine. Like, and you're upset because he didn't text you?
And the answer is your grudge before you even have to explain it, because I'm fine. Look, I didn't text you because of that. Like, you can't even be mad at him because he knows exactly why you're pissed.
Well, if I were writing the New Mutants, I would probably make it possible for him to get, like, social parse tools through mixed signals. You know, like, body language is a language. Originally, when we saw him like this, is you know, he was basically like a universal translator, so they didn't go too deep into it. But in the later comics, writers sometimes tried to find unusual or fun ways to use the power to make him an interesting character.
So, like, beyond Google Translate.
I'd like that he would know my cues, because that pissed me off in my last relationship. Yeah. That is like, what's wrong, Josie? Everything. You should know these things by now. So it's like, it would be nice for him to, like, just somehow automatically know.
Yeah, I think it's hot. Yeah. I'm with Emily.
I think I officially changed my mind.
Yeah, me too.
Get him a box of L'Oreal Color Riche.
Other products are available, not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor.
And we're good.
Yeah, you can follow Emily's beauty tips on
YouTube.
Amy Ultraviolet.
Not a sponsor, but a partner.
Yeah!
If I could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals, and they could talk to me.
Oh my god.
Okay, so...
Dang.
Dagger. We're finally here. Cloak's partner, Tandy Bowen, like her friend Tyrone, was a teenage runaway, abducted and shot up with an experimental street drug that unleashed her superpowers. While Tyrone, or Cloak, was a lower-class kid gifted with the powers of darkness, Tandy was from an affluent family, running from a neglectful mother, and as the graceful dagger, shines bright with a light that stuns those who see it, and throws daggers of living light that purge foreign substances from the bodies of those hit by them, but can also paralyze the victim, during which time he or she is confronted by their greatest fears and with their potential life if they turn to good. In some cases, they could even kill because they specifically attack the person's life force or soul. They have no effect on inanimate objects. Compared to Cloak, Dagger is the more lighthearted of the duo, and usually cheerful, even if she does wish for a normal life sometimes. Pictured mostly throwing daggers and fighting Spider-Man over her entry's 3 pages, though there's also a shot of her in civilian clothes.
Dang.
Oh my god.
I can't even start to express how I love the fact that the slit on her suit is a dagger.
Yeah, dang. That's awesome.
I love it, amazing. Love it so much.
But her tiny feet.
Yeah. Well, she's in a weird posture, though.
Okay, fine. But dang, still.
The positioning of the cutout on the right boob is not... Nipple is there.
You would see a nipple.
It's not like in the second page, her boobs are completely like, cupped in white.
But this one is like, that would be like, yeah, it was like half like nip slip, no.
It's like constant nip slip.
She must use double-sided tape. There's no way. There's no way.
Look at her butt on page 2.
But her legs on the top left panel are comical.
In my mind, she must be flexible for some reason.
Oh, she seems to be.
I mean, yeah, based on the pictures.
She's was
very
a dancer.
Stretchy.
She's very good.
Yeah, she's a
You could tell. You could tell by just the image there, the one underneath the main one.
That's a positivity.
In the main picture, she looks like she's doing the transformation from Sailor Moon.
Yeah, agreed. And especially that in Sailor Moon, when they transform, they just become in that... They're naked. Naked, but form. And she has a skin tight suit, so yeah, definitely.
I love her hair.
Yeah, it's like a bleached blonde white. I really think that's interesting.
What's the ring around her eye? Is that like...
That appears when she's in dagger form, so it's part of the costume or part of the look.
So a monocle is part of Dagger's costume.
It's like a circle of light around her eye or something.
Mm, that's cool.
But like, look how her hair flows here and there, and I don't have that hair.
It's great hair.
And her powers are really cool.
Yeah. I like that they have no... For some reason, I like that they have no effect on inanimate objects. Like, it's really...
It's light, yeah.
Well, it's really connected to the life force of someone and, like, their memories and their, you know, their actions, so I like that.
Although they are chipping bricks on page 3.
They do bounce off stuff.
To hit other...
But yeah, this would be a mistake, because that's actual damage.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
But it's a good...
It's Spider-Man's fault.
It's a good power to have in a city that I'm sure doesn't like to have their taxpayers constantly paying for... villains, superhero damages.
Why can't she be more like Cloak and Dagger?
They
clean the streets.
One thing I love also about her is how her powers wouldn't affect someone that would be under mind control or something like that. It wouldn't hurt them, it would just cure them. And also, it bounces off a wall and attacks a civilian, these light arrows thing. If they're not bad, it shouldn't hurt them, right?
But what if you're just, like, you're not a super villain, or you're not a villain, but you didn't pay your taxes last year? Will the light daggers hurt you? Will it be a bystander?
It'll just, like, show images of you not paying your taxes, and then...
Guilt you.
Yeah, make you feel bad about it.
And show you what should have been, what could have been done with that money that you didn't pay.
I did pay my taxes, though, just to make that
good civilian.
Yeah.
Good job,
Eddie. Sure.
And I did.
I like how she's in her normal clothes, and then there's Cloak behind, just...
So
just, like, in the bag, just like...
Speaking of Cloak, when we went over him, we mentioned how they were very codependent.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that plays into her hotness or not-ness.
That they're already a couple?
It's...
Well, are they a couple, or are they, like,
they're sort
friends?
Of a couple.
Okay.
I think she's so hot, but it's the dateability of it, in a way, that's like, well...
Yeah, she's taking too much space already with someone else. It's hard to swoop in.
I mean, I'd be friends with them.
Yeah?
I'd go fight crimes with them and be totally useless.
I would invite them to my costume party if I had one.
So what is she actually like in real life?
She's very cheerful. She hasn't let this whole experience destroy her. So even though she's a runaway and she's had problems, she is a bright person. That's, you know, her powers are a manifestation of what she's really like. Just the way Cloak is probably more dour and depressed and reserved. So his powers are more introverted, and hers are extroverted, so they're, like, two sides of the coin.
I'm actually kind of surprised, because, like, the images that we see, she, like, doesn't seem super happy to me. Like, she seems more...
Well, they've got pictures of her in fights.
She's fighting crime.
I guess
so.
I guess that one. She's happy in the car. I guess she just... I don't know, that's not... I'm surprised that that's her personality, based on just this.
I can imagine them in the morning, like, Sunday morning, and she's like... Morning! Would you like a cup of coffee? And Cloak is just like...
Two sugars, please.
I would watch the sitcom, though.
I would totally watch the Cloak and Dagger sitcom.
It's not a sitcom, but they will have a TV show. There's a trailer that did come out.
Yeah, you did talk about that.
It should be a sitcom.
Delightful.
About fighting...
Let's write letters.
Fighting the drug war.
It's a weird-shaped dagger thing.
Oh, the arrows, you mean.
Yeah. They look more like arrows.
Mm-hmm. Or stegosaurus plates.
I was going to say shark teeth, but all of the above, I guess. Mm-hmm.
They call it light knives. I think it makes more...
Light knives. Oh, that's awesome. Does it hurt when it hits you? Like, is it like a sharp thing, or is it...
Through your soul.
Is it just like it goes through you and gets absorbed?
Yeah. There's no wounds, except psychological...
Do you feel like a, like, pressure or, like, something going inside? I don't know.
Well, you will feel the effect, I guess, but not... I don't think you would feel, like...
Like the impact
not
of
the,
light.
Not the physical impact, but the impact that it has on your being.
Like, I don't think you could tell the difference if it hits you in the shoulder and the tippy toe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
I'm not sure, though, that I would want her to use her power on me.
No.
I mean, I made some pretty bad choices.
I'm a person.
If she said it's just cheery and all, I would feel like I'm a downer next to her.
And I mean, she already has a more downer.
Okay, fair enough. So I could be the middle ground.
Does she use this on, like, just typical people? Like, do we see that ever?
These guys, well, maybe. I mean, I haven't read a whole lot of Cloak and Dagger, but...
Start reading them all.
But these characters are street characters. They're mostly fighting drug pushers, and they really went with it. Was like the 80s, and they had like this really relevant period where so these characters were fighting the drug war, which was a big thing in the 80s. So really pushers and distributors. So it was that kind of crime. Mm-hmm.
Question: why is she fighting Spider-Man?
Probably a Marvel team up of some sort. Whenever Marvel characters team up, first they have to fight, and then they figure out, oh shit, we should be friends, and then they cooperate on the real threat. That's the Marvel.
That's like real life
tradition.
But there's a lot of it.
I think it's all the same comic. Yeah.
It's the same fight. It just went on for like ever.
It's still going on.
It's raining. It's raining there, but it isn't. It's raining. No, it's still raining here.
It's raining there. They went inside because there's stairs there, so they were inside a house of some sort.
But it isn't.
This is probably the cover. Okay. This looks like a cover.
Okay. Once upon a time.
Is Dagger hot or not?
Well, she's hot.
Smoking. Oh yeah. Clearly.
Smoking.
She's okay.
Ask a stupid question. The levee won't hold a young lost soul. She'll break away the shackles of the old. The Daily Bugle, the newspaper Peter Parker works for, and that ironically consistently tries to destroy Spider-Man's reputation. The entry features the newspaper's logo, a technical drawing of the building, and headshots of key employees, only a few of which get their own entries, like publisher J. Jonah Jameson. We also get, Robbie Robertson, the editor-in-chief, secretary to Jameson, Betty Brand Leeds, who was played by Elizabeth Banks in the first Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, Ned Leeds, who is a reporter, secretary Gloria Grant, photographer Lance Bannon, city reporter Ben Urich, who is important to Daredevil, Charlie Snow, a reporter, columnist Jacob Conover, Wendy Thornton, the sports columnist, and classified solicitor Ann McIntosh, plus other Bugle employees that are included, but just mentioned, not pictured, Peter Parker, a freelance photographer of little note.
also known as Spider-Man.
What?
Spoilers.
Reporter Frederick Foswell and city editor Catherine Cushing.
Copywriter
Tony Falcone. So some of these, even the ones with headshots, were important maybe to Spider-Man comics in the 80s, but I don't have a single clue who they are, if they've ever been seen after this. So they're just showing the cast that you might see at this point in comics.
They have a woman sports columnist, and I'm so pumped.
I am.
Yeah, yes. That's awesome.
I love it.
Yeah.
Good job.
But that hair on Anne. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Yes. It was the 80s.
I know.
It reminds me of my mom. That's the best part.
Jacob has a very Jughead vibe.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Or I'm Gilligan.
Yes.
A mix of the two?
Yeah.
Do they own that entire building?
Yeah, this was like the later addition. Originally, the Bugle was in some other building, and they just kind of moved, I think, at this point, to a bigger building that they owned. And then, obviously, this isn't all reporter offices, but, you know, they've got the Daily Bugle on the building and the probably rent offices.
Like the printing process,
exactly.
Yeah, it might be, like, on the lower floors.
Storage space for paper and all, so it takes a lot of spaces. Yeah. You know that.
Lunchroom.
We know that. We know stuff.
Bathroom.
For scale, the letters on top of the building are 30 feet high.
What? Wow.
Jeez,
that's ridiculous. That, no.
How tall is that?
I mean, that's a big building.
That's almost absurd. That is what it says here. In 30-foot letters.
Like, would it be bigger than the biggest tower we have here? I'm bad with...
It's 46 stories tall. Taller than anything in Moncton.
Okay, got it. Cool. Got my answer.
Why? Like, do they really need that? Like, that seems... Well,
I mean,
there must be a condo on top, and they must rent out...
There are only 3 floors devoted to editorial offices, it says here.
Whoa.
And the 2 sub-basements have printing presses. The rest are rented.
Oh,
okay. Or is it like these cool offices where there's like a garden, and there's a random pool for employees to like, when you're on break, you can go around and like unstress.
Cool. I doubt it's a cool office.
Yeah.
If I base myself on J. Jonah Jameson's personality that I've seen, I doubt it's a like progressive.
Oh, no, yeah.
Employee.
I've seen some
pro employee office.
Ping pong tables and
yeah.
Pets and.
I don't think J. Jonah Jameson is a Gen Xer.
Yeah.
So this is a weird one.
Yeah.
We need to save the build. Basically, we have to save the Daily Bugle is hot.
Okay, what's the personality of the building?
It's called the Picture Newspaper. Okay. So I think that's a news. It's basically, you know, a polite way to say it's a fucking tabloid. Especially if it's running pictures of Spider-Man and, you know, trashing his reputation. Mm. How serious is the reporting early on in the Spider-Man stuff? But at the same time, they did rumble the Kingpin and, you know, we know that some of these reporters are actually heroic and have put their lives on the line to get the story. So,
like a mixture of both.
Yeah, it became Marvel Comics. Big, it's like the Daily Planet, like the newspaper that broke the big stories. And of course, it can't all be tabloid and stupid.
Well, I guess that's realistic. A lot of newspapers are kind of like that. Some of it's more in-depth, you know, journalism, and some of it is like, look at this person, they bought a tent. Like,
they bought a tent. You don't read tabloids, do you?
I don't know who reads newspapers here much today, you know, but I'm sure it's got an internet presence now.
Yeah. The Daily Bugle?
No, the Daily Bugle would have a website, you know, like,
yeah.
It'd be like a New York Times. For hot or not, would you read the Daily Bugle, knowing what you know?
Why not?
I'd read it, but I wouldn't read all the articles.
Yeah, exactly. I would flip through it. I would follow them on Facebook page.
Would you believe?
Follow them on Twitter.
Would you believe the anti-Spider-Man propaganda?
You know what? It's hard to say, honestly. Like, because, you know, we know about Spider-Man, right? We see, like, his personal life and everything. From the outside, I don't know how I would feel about that.
And we're also used to heroes. Like, we're used to the concept of heroes, but if we just, like, someone was just doing things, heroes didn't exist in our minds before that, I don't know how people, like, how I would react to that. I'd probably be like, what's this guy?
That's jackass.
Coming back to my comment on the last entry about taxpayers' dollars and damage, if he's, like, constantly creating, like, chaos and damage and whatever, not chaos, like, he's not creating it. But, you know, he's
taking the fight is chaotic.
He's part of it, maybe. All depending on how it's sold, because you're not always there seeing how shit goes down.
Exactly, yeah.
I think it would depend how they treat other subjects that I would have an opinion on.
Because
then you have sort of an idea how they treat stories that you have more information about.
Mm-hmm.
So based on that, be like, okay, well, that's exaggerated on that side. Then there must be, like, a general exaggeration on things.
If they're positive about such and such buying a tent, I mean, I like camping, so I'd be on board with, like, them being pro-camping. But if they're anti-camping, I mean...
Then they've lost me.
Because are they a New York Times or are they... Journal de Montréal.
Yeah.
That's just for us, that reference. Mm-hmm. Not a sponsor, because I just trashed it. Screw you, Journal de Montréal.
If we can get a picture of Julia Roberts in a thong, we can certainly get a picture of this weirdo. Put an ad on the front page. Cash money for a picture of Spider-Man. He doesn't want to be famous, and I'll make him infamous.
Spider-Man won't let me take any more pictures. You've turned the whole city against him.
Miss Brandt?
Yes?
Get me a violin.
Could you pay me in advance?
You serious? Pay for what? Standing there? The planetarium tomorrow night, 8:00. There's the door.
Boss, your wife's on the line. She said she lost a checkbook.
Thanks for the good news.
Daredevil, one of the better known Marvel heroes, Matt Murdock, lost his sight as a child when his eyes were exposed to a radioactive isotope that fell off the back of a truck. But it increased all his other senses to superhuman level and gave him a kind of radar sense as well. His hearing is so acute, he can identify people by their heartbeats. His touch so sensitive, he can read newsprint. After his father, a boxer, is killed for not agreeing to take a fall, something for which Matt never got any justice, the orphan grows up to be a lawyer and costume vigilante. As Daredevil, he's almost as acrobatic as Spider-Man and uses a billy club that can be thrown or shoot a grappling claw and rope, or telescope into his blind man's cane. Though he's frequently been through hell, Daredevil is a liberal optimist, the kind of man who doesn't charge for legal services even though he's as broke as his clients. So while he's gone through some dark introspective phases, he usually returns to a devil-may-care, upbeat attitude, which may be for his friends' benefits as much as his. Pictured fighting Dr. Octopus here, the Mauler there, using radar sense to spot a motorboat, running on a telephone wire, stopping a bullet with his club. Acrobatically fighting five guys, fighting ninjas with nunchucks.
My god.
Kicking bullseye in the face. Ramping off a roller coaster, and there are technical drawings of the Billy Club as well.
I mean, that's very technical.
Like, I didn't understand until I saw the drawing what was going on.
Everything is clear now.
Oh yeah, clear as day.
So how do you drop that kind of radioactive thing out of a truck?
The truck, if
it's,
you know,
in New York,
it's in the movie. It's in the movies, okay. In the show, and in the comics, where the truck just like hits a bump, and sometimes they show young Matt Murdock run to like push a bystander out of the way. Like, heroically, the truck is out of control, and he pushes somebody out of the truck's way, and then the truck crashes. The isotopes fall out of the truck. And right in front of his eyes.
I don't remember.
Isn't he like at
he's still a kid running.
Yeah, he's a kid running at it, like sort of.
Yeah, like it's
a,
like an industrial park.
Yeah, industrial thing, and if there's a, they're in barrels that, like, and they kind of roll off. I couldn't get through that movie.
Really?
Yeah, Bullseye just creeped me out.
Oh dear God, he was playing him well.
He sounds like a nice guy.
I guess his father is like the same rule as for Uncle Ben and all. That's the one person that will always stay dead.
Pretty much.
Well, yeah, he has to be dead.
I like the whole senses thing, like with the heartbeat and stuff. It feels like it would be something that would be really useful in a relationship. Like
I was gonna say, super no, romantic. But like
that. I don't know if that explains. It doesn't quite explain why all his relationships tank.
Fail.
He's got out with Black Widow. He's got out with Elektra, and it's always ended in tears.
But I mean, like
his tears or
Tears as readers.
Does he get dumped?
Elektra dies.
Oh, yeah.
That's how the movie ends. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, spoilers.
Well, no, it's like the second act, the end of the second act.
But you know, like when something happens and something's bothering you, and you won't necessarily say anything, you'd probably feel that like change in your pace, that subtle.
It's like a lie detector.
That subtle change, and be like, oh shit, what did I do?
Or like if you're just stressed a little bit,
and
like
then
he'll
be
know.
Just more intuitive.
But again,
more...
maybe that's the thing. Maybe it's too much for his girlfriend that he knows everything. He knows exactly how she feels all the time. Sometimes you just don't want to deal with your emotions. You want it.
Or sometimes, like, you know you're overreacting to something, and you shouldn't be upset by what is upsetting you, so you don't want to bring it up because you don't want to make a thing out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe he's just, like, he knows all these things. He can tell by the heartbeat, but maybe he's just really crappy afterwards. Like, he's just like, she's stressed. Anyways, walks away.
He's usually let the vigilante life kind of interfere.
You get that.
Yep.
I think he's married to the cause a bit too much.
Because even in his actual life, when he's a lawyer, he's still basically that guy. Because he's giving his services for free and, you know, taking on sacrifice to do that.
Imagine how it would be frustrating maybe to be a lawyer, to be in court, and you know that the guy's lying because you can feel his heartbeat and everything. How do you bring the proof?
It's just when you, sometimes when you lose a case, you're like, well, they kind of have the benefit of the doubt, but then you actually know for a fact that they're lying, and you're like, I can't prove
it. They show that in the movie, early on in the film.
That's right.
They do that bit where...
I got to that part.
Yeah, he knows someone is lying in the witness stand, and then and the person gets off, so he dresses as Daredevil and beats the guy up.
Yeah.
Like, gets the justice some other way. That's how they play it in the film.
I understand why I would do that, but in a way, I still feel that it's too much. It's learn to let it go.
I don't know. Think he can. Like, I
don't think that. Yeah,
I think he's
personality.
The whole optimism and liberal thing, and or not. Like, I think he just really believes the world can be good, and believes that he has a role in making it good, and he has a responsibility in making it better.
Yeah.
And I think that would be exhausting in a relationship.
I feel he would never be home.
I kind of like the logo on his chest. I kind of like it because it's kind of subtle. It's not like super in your face. It's still the same color as the rest of the suit.
I appreciate the fact that he has little horns.
Yes.
On his mask.
I like that he has cutouts for his eyes, but there's a thing over his eyes anyways. Mm-hmm. It makes him scarier looking.
And he doesn't need it. No, eye holes, right?
Exactly. So it's just kind of an intimidation thing. It's scary. I like it.
Normally I don't like it, but I like that it's all red. Like, mm-hmm. I don't mind that it's a head-to-toe all red outfit. Mm-hmm. Like, I like it.
Oh, it's the whole... I want to look devil. Like a demon.
Yeah, I like it. Well, you know, you could have put, like, dark, maybe black, or, like, darker colors, but all red, I still like it.
Yeah, people like to joke that maybe he doesn't know.
Yeah. Oh.
That's funny. It's just easier.
I mean, how do you know you're sewing the good parts together if you have different... How did he get that suit? Well, did he made it?
He can still somewhat see it. Like, he must, like, does he not see?
No, he can't see at all.
No.
But he can feel colors.
Well, he sees
but he could feel different textiles.
Yeah.
No,
like, but he sees shapes.
Yeah,
he's got the radar sense, right?
Yeah, he sees shapes.
Like a bat.
Yeah, in the movies, like, he sees shapes with sound sometimes. So, like, he has a sewing machine, so he must see the shapes of the clothes in the sewing machine.
And the sewing machine going on, like, bah, bah.
Make a show out of that.
There is a show.
Him just sewing things.
That's a missing episode of a Netflix series.
It's a random day. Cloak and Dagger go see Daredevil when he's sewing his outfit together.
Yep. Love it. Do it.
I find it interesting that he's all about being good, but he went for the devil look and the devil reference. That's interesting.
When
to
he
me.
Was a kid, he was bullied a lot. Okay. In the streets of Hell's Kitchen. So already, he patrols Hell's Kitchen,
right.
That neighborhood, so there's already a hell motif. But the kids called him Daredevil because they would push him around and he would fall and go Daredevil.
Actually, isn't that how it happens in the movie? He's being bullied and running away from bullies? And that's when it happens?
Maybe they just like collapsed everything together.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they called him Daredevil because he was like clumsy.
So it's an insult.
It's an insult. Is like
that he kind of regained.
Yeah.
Cool.
Maybe it's also if he uses that hero thing to solve the things that he couldn't solve in his real life through actual law, maybe like it's the dark side of him that's dealing with the actual, like having to take justice in his hands. That's the sort of darker
angel
part.
And the devil.
When did he start doing this? It was like he was...
Because he was blind.
Like as a child. So when did this happen?
As a child, he gets zapped. Then he's in recovery. He's a blind kid. You know, and they're still bullying him, and, you know, he gets taken on by a master. You know, someone finds him to tell him there's this person that works with the blind or might be able to help you. And this guy was called Stick. And Stick is like a blind.
So the stick helps the blind people?
Right. But he's also blind. But he's a blind Zen fighter. Okay. So he shows Matt how to use his powers. Because he's got the same powers, but more like mystical sort of thing. Like a fighting sense, a blind fighting sense. So he learns how to control his powers, how to control his senses, how to fight, and like a way to focus your senses. Because at first it's just like a barrage of all these, you know, he's being overwhelmed by every smell, taste, sound.
Yeah, in the hospital room at one point he freaks out because all the sounds are like crowding his vision quotation marks.
Then he becomes Daredevil, the superhero. At the end of college, he meets Elektra there, and they have a romance, they get into some trouble, and then he starts wearing a mask and so on. Not as a child.
And when did his dad die?
Before or after he was blind?
After he was blind.
Okay.
So he's already blinded, it's before Stick, we'll say, but he's already blinded, living with a father who wanted him to go to college and wanted him to get out of Hell's Kitchen, basically. Become a lawyer, become something, someone important, get out of this poverty. But his father wanted him to have a good role model. And that's why his dad refuses to take a fall, even though he's like an old fighter, really, his last fight might as well get paid off. But he refused to do that because his son was expecting more from him.
That's tragic.
So the guilt, the guilt!
I don't think it would work out between me and him.
I like him.
I like him, and I think, like, I can have a crush on him, but I just don't think...
I'm sad that's the future.
And I don't want to die.
I'm sad that he didn't include a picture of him without his mask on.
Well, he's a redhead, so he's right up your alley.
Yeah, are you serious? Oh, dear God.
Yep.
But blue eyes.
Yeah, well, there's a redhead, duh.
I haven't seen a lot of redhead with brown eyes.
I have.
Yeah. There's a few, but not many.
Let's start the ball rolling. Daredevil, hot or not?
I'm agreeing with Elise. Like, I find him very smoking and lovely, but it's like, I would find he wouldn't be there in the relationship. He'd always be busy doing, you know, fighting crimes. And I'd be like, I just want to watch TV with you. Just one night. And he's like, no, I need to fight crime. It's like, oh, God, what? Again?
I wish Anne-Marie was still with us for this entry. I think it would have been interesting to hear what she would have to say about a blind guy now that she works in her eyes.
I also think I'd feel guilty if I wanted him to stay in to watch a movie for a night.
Oh,
and I
watch
know
a
that,
movie.
Like,
Oh my God!
That's horrible.
That's horrible.
Did you say?
She said it first.
I said watch a TV show.
Oh my God!
Well, blind people still do that.
Yeah, they still have the
one described video.
Yeah, there you go. But
so
shit.
We would watch a lovely described video movie, but. The thing is, like, I'd feel horrible because I'm keeping him from doing research for his law cases or fighting crime or, you know, just because selfish little me wants some attention from my boyfriend.
Yeah. But that's every hero.
Yeah, exactly.
True.
Yeah, but he's very, like, he's more...
It's almost obsessive.
Yeah.
I think he brings it to another level.
I know for sure that it wouldn't work between both of us because my life is oriented around my eyes. I mean... I always have this fucking phone in my hands. I always watch movies and TV. Like, that's what I do. That's just what I do. So, I don't know how it would work.
But, I mean, he can listen. He's not...
I know, but...
You do talk a lot.
Especially today, considering the fact that I'm losing my voice. I should be shutting up right now.
It's just changing the way that we process things. Like, if you're, like, eliminating one of the senses, it's just changing the way you look at things. it would still be able to have, you know, you can still watch movies, listen to music, do that type of shit. But it's just, it's different. The way you do it is different.
I'm going to show you some pictures of Matt Murdock from the comics and from the TV series.
Okay.
Just to get a quick reaction.
Okay.
And I'll put them on the site next to the pictures of the whole Hotmu pictures.
Okay.
On fireandwaterpodcast.com. So here's Matt Murdock from the comics, and recent comics, let's say.
Okay.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. Oh, my.
I like it.
It's a Matt.
I like the scruff.
Ooh. And then if we look at what he looks like on TV...
Is he a redhead?
Yeah, that's good.
He's very attractive.
Reddish his hair.
Okay, I don't like that much. I think he looks sleazy.
He has a weird smirk. I don't like this picture at all.
I like smirks.
I'm very, yes.
I don't think it's a gross smirk. I think it's a good smirk.
Yeah, but you can see, on the show, he's always got, like, facial wounds.
Oh my God.
He's always pretty beat up.
He's already beat up.
He's always beat up.
Okay.
And then he says, well, he ran into a door.
I guess who is gonna be like, no,
yeah,
you didn't do that.
Who's gonna argue with him?
Like, yeah. Does he purposely run into doors in front of people so that they think he's really clumsy?
But to keep the act up.
But he is clumsy, that's why he gets bullied.
No, but he's not anymore.
Well, maybe that
still
happens.
He plays it, though. Yeah. He plays it up.
Okay. He has a background in clumsy.
He knows how to clums.
Clums. I clums every day.
Clums it up.
So how many hots did we have?
Several.
Yeah, I think he's hot.
Yeah. The general consensus seems to be hot, but I think difficult to tie down. Yeah.
Yes, unavailable.
So if you're not looking for a serious relationship, it would probably be fine.
Yeah,
but
yeah, absolutely.
I think it would be hard to, like, really date this guy. It is sad.
We have needs.
And that's the real tragedy.
Women have needs.
Jesus. There's been something in your voice. It's been there for a while now. I thought whatever it was, whatever's been... I thought it would get better once Fisk was put away, but it hasn't, has it? A lot of decisions, I'd give anything to go back and change. But I can't. None of us can. All we can do is move forward.
Art credits. Cypher by Mary Wilshire. Dagger by Rick Leonardi. Daily Bugle by John Romita Sr. And Daredevil by David Mazzucchelli.
Okay, doing the new promo. Do not say take the dare. Do not say take the dare. Okay, go. Hello, darling. Nice to see ya. It's me, J. David Weider, the Conway Twitty of podcasting. But please call me Dave. I host a show called Dave's Daredevil Podcast, where I talk about Marvel's Man Without Fear and Netflix superstar Daredevil. Still got more hornhead goodness than you can shake a billy club at and a desperado love for Daredevil. The show can now be found at twotruefreaks.com, home of Earth's mightiest podcasts. And if you haven't tried the show before, I see the want to in your eyes. So take the time to check out Dave's Daredevil Podcast, because sometimes you need a podcaster with a slow hand. Dave's Daredevil Podcast, twotruefreaks.com. Take the dare. I have no self-control.
Female bag.
Woo-hoo!
These are comments about episode 24, Crossfire, Crusader, Crystal, Sybil, and Cyclops.
Oh, yeah, there was five.
Yeah, there were five, and we had Anne-Marie with us. Thanks,
aww,
girl.
Aww.
So let's start with Vera Wild, Old Faithful. She says, I wouldn't have thought that Siskoid could have had a wilder group to try and keep on topic. Then in strides Science Girl to bring it all to a whole new level.
Oh, yeah. That's her superpower.
Being annoying.
Yeah, like causing chaos.
Being delightful and chaotic.
I was going to say we love you, Anne-Marie, but she doesn't listen to this.
Of course not. But we still love you.
I have to say that I'm surprised Crossfire had as good a showing as he did, and that it largely came down to personality. The look made me cringe, and then it was all over when I heard his last name was Cross, because then it just pointed to unhealthy obsessiveness. It's like if somebody had a last name that's a color, green, black, brown, etc., and they exclusively wore that color clothing. That's weird.
I'm sure there's people that do it, though.
Oh, definitely.
I'm sure.
Speaking of unhealthy obsessiveness, Crusader. I'm pretty sure he would not be able to condemn me fast enough, so I'll just say that the ladies are right and that that cape is ridiculous. While I like Crystal, I'm not nearly as bowled over as the ladies were. I think it's the yellow, which is a color that rarely works for me as anything other than an accent color. I kind of want her hair, though. Speaking of hair, I'm nailing the segues today. Sybil got some Medusa-level locks going on. The inhuman character, not the one from Greek mythology. I'd lose the crown, but so keep the rest. I just love how, despite an insanely deeply plunged V on the upper portion, that ultimately I feel this outfit is all about the hips, and I'll always be a sucker for thigh-high boots. And then there's Cyclops. I knew it was going to be a tough time for old Slim. The word boring was used really liberally, which I figured it would be. He suffers badly in the public eye because he's generally the responsible adult of the X-Men. In and of itself, not awful, but when all the rowdy characters like Wolverine get to be fun, that makes the guy telling them to settle down the killjoy, even if he's right. I found that he's got more going on than he's usually given credit for and often shines as a character when not stuck in the by-the-book leader role. That being said, thank God they never used that outfit. He looks somebody body-painted a shaved ape. I've never liked the complete head covering look on him. I will rarely say this, but thank goodness for the 90s redesign. He had, like, the hair was out. It let his luscious hair blow in the wind as it's meant to. The ladies aren't wrong about the sunglasses making him into a bit of a douche canoe.
Oh my God, douche canoe!
Though that smirk in the image makes it worse. Yeah. But I find that the specific combination of the uncovered hair and the visor to be quite pleasing, and the can't look into his eyes thing wouldn't get me too much because my eyes tend to be drawn to lips anyway. So I guess I'm saying I'd put Cyclops in as hot if I could just put him in his later outfit. But not this thing. Oh, sweet Christmas. Not this thing.
He doesn't even have any lips.
Yeah.
He's, yeah. For two characters, eh?
He's got no lips.
P.S. If I don't at least see a single mocked up page of Marvel Skeetos at some point in my life, then we as a society have failed.
Agreed.
Make it happen, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris Franklin says, funny that one of the girls, of course he doesn't know which,
thought
Crossfire looked like a medical superhero because he reminds me of the G.I. Joe character Lifeline, who was a medic dressed all in red and white with lots of crosses. Speaking of crosses, I'm glad someone mentioned that not all Christians are intolerant a-holes in the Crusader discussion. I feel like sometimes it's the one group that people feel it's still okay to beat up on. Zealots are intolerant a-hole by their nature, no matter what their creed, and this guy was an a-hole. I wonder if all the girls would have put Cyclops in the not category if they knew of how Scott left his wife and son the second he heard Jean Grey was still alive, right around the time this issue hit. Yes. Sure, Madeline ended, that's his actual wife, Madeline ended up being evil later, but he didn't know that then. Total dick move, and one of the most shameful things a mainstream big-name superhero has ever done in my book, and I actually like the character otherwise.
Indeed. And, douche canoe.
Yeah, and he would later do it again because he cheated on Jean Grey with the White Queen.
Massive douche canoe.
Douche boat. Douche pontoon.
Douche submarine.
Douche cruise ship.
Then it says, fun show. The addition of Science Girl did add an extra element of chaos to the mix. Not that I mind it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Then we have Gene Hendricks, our Thor enthusiast slash superfan. He says, no, not all Christians are a-holes, but anyone who adopts the name of Crusader will probably be.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you do in life? I'm a crusader. Interesting. I'll just leave this way and
not
never come back.
Crusader.
The crusader.
Oh, that's the worst.
I do like how he loses his powers when he gets the beat down he so richly deserves and doubts his faith. I'd pay real money to see some of the holier-than-thou nitwits in this world get that treatment from some of the Azir, Asgardian joke. Then Eric says, when I was a kid, I always wondered about Crystal's hair. Was the black stripe an accessory, or was it an actual colored streak in her hair? I don't think they were ever really consistent about it. It was just a cool visual. I do prefer the idea that it's a natural coloration in her hair that somehow stays the same in the same place even as the hair grows, you know, because Terrigen mists. Because after we did the show, then I saw the Inhumans trailer for the Inhumans TV show, and they do it like it's like a weird spray in her, like she's got somewhere where there's black, a black design in her otherwise red hair. I don't like it.
Okay.
Then he says, Crusader suffers from a really limited motivation. His opposition to false gods means that he's tailor-made to fight Thor and Hercules, and that's pretty much it. However, this hasn't stopped Marvel from bringing him back from time to time, including stories where he goes up against Luke Cage and Wolverine. Why? What's the point? I love Sybil's look, but it doesn't really suit her characterization as the eternal hippie Earth Mother communing with nature.
Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it is quite leather and dominatrixy for hippie vibes.
Ange says, Crystal is Marvel's version of Donna Troy. She was a crush for many comic readers, and she always was romantically linked to tools. And those readers would wail and gnash their teeth wondering why the best ones are taken by horrible men.
It's just the...
It's like a reverse wish fulfillment.
Yeah, lessons about life.
It's relatable.
Hashtag relatable.
Mike W. says, welcome to the cross-themed episode. Or is that the crotch-themed?
That's every episode.
Yeah.
On Crusader, he says, yeah, you know you're in trouble when you get kicked out of seminary for being too religious. And then he says, what does Sybil the hippie do all day in Colorado? Well, he says, well, marijuana has been legalized there, so...
Nature.
She hangs out with plants.
Nature. And then smokes them.
She has fires.
And then a message from Speedball, my friend Kurt from across the continent. He says, I'm so glad Cyclops never ended up with that costume. The way the yellow dips down into his inner thighs makes it look like he has crotch fangs.
It really does accentuate his inner thighs, which is not someone anyone ever wants.
Like, and it's like inner thighs and bulge, but not in a at all appealing way.
No, it's like flat Kendall, but hey, look at my inner thighs.
Muscles.
I love the things.
You do?
There should have been someone with like a Serpent Society relationship that had, and you could put like eyes just above his crotch, and that could have been the fangs.
Trouser snake.
That's a bit like Cotton Mouse.
Just on the crotch.
Yep. Just on the crotch.
Cotton crotch.
Cotton crotch.
Would have been better than Cyclops.
Ryan Daly says, Crossfire's cousin, Darren Cross, was a criminal responsible for Scott Lang becoming the second Ant-Man in the movie. Remember?
Huh.
That villain in the movie? In the comics, Darren Cross turns into a big pink knockoff version of the Hulk. But in the 2015 film Ant-Man, Cross, played by Corey Stoll, is the mad scientist who becomes Yellowjacket.
Well, that's interesting. Huh.
So I did not realize that.
They don't have a strong family
resemblance.
Not at all in those same directions. Yeah.
Is that, could Crossfire show up in a Marvel movie because of this?
Nah.
He shouldn't.
Boston Moss says, when y'all finally finish Ohadmu, will you move to DC's Who's Who? Oh,
well, we'll be 75. Yeah.
So yes. Everyone will be retired and just...
We'll have lots of time to podcast.
We're just churning them out. There's an episode every day.
One episode, four episodes. Right.
They're live.
We're live streaming.
Prepare yourselves. It's just bullshit.
Mike will cringe every time.
Brian Linton says, great episode, ladies and gentlemen. I have to admit that I identify with Cyclops on some level because I grew up filling the role of responsible older brother in my family. It strikes me that it would be interesting to compare and contrast Cyclops with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles' Leonardo. Both fit the archetype of the mature, responsible leader, but I get the impression that Leonardo is generally seen in a more positive light by fans than Cyclops.
Well, perhaps, he's a turtle.
Perhaps Leo possesses more humility or empathy than Scott, or maybe people just like Mutant Turtles more than mutant humans.
Yeah, I think maybe
they're ninjas.
Maybe it's a leaderness thing where... If someone's perceived as a leader, but is also like the downer, like, okay, we've got to focus and do something, versus when they're just like that naggy person. Mm-hmm. They're not like the leader of the group. They're just like the one going, guys, we should clean up, the party's over, and we should pick up everything. And
that's us, Isabel.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're always in that role.
That's
we're always that, cast in that role.
Yes.
In
nobody that. Likes me.
I like you. Boo.
But I think it's how leadership is portrayed that makes the difference between
annoying,
if you like them or not.
It's the limit between you're just annoying and you're annoying, but I get where you're going at.
Like, yeah. It's like the difference between your mom telling you you're doing something wrong and then your friend telling you the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're seeing it differently. You're like, ah, okay, fine.
But wouldn't Cyclops be that friend? Like Professor X would be the dad? Anyway.
Nah, he's a douche canoe.
Brian goes on. He says, of course, now I have the urge to match the other Ninja Turtles up with the X-Men. I can see Donatello and Beast as the technical wizards and Raphael and Wolverine as the angry loners, but I'm not sure who would be Michelangelo's best X-Men counterpart. I have to think about that some more. So Ryan Daly tries to help. He says, the Leonardo Cyclops rap is one I support, but you're right that Leo doesn't usually get hit with the same fan hate that Scott does. But I think that's in part because Leonardo was never defined as the anti-Raphael. Like, Cyclops is going to be anti-Wolverine, and Wolverine's super popular. During the Ween, Claremont, Cockrum, Byrne X-Men, Cyclops was used primarily as the stick-up-his-butt foil to the boss-hating, too-cool-for-mutant-school Wolverine. As for the others, Donatello, Beast, and Michelangelo, Nightcrawler, Iceman, Beast, Colossus, I guess everybody's fun-loving. Brian comes back to say, good point, Wolverine's popularity probably hurts Cyclops given the interpersonal conflict that writers have created between them. Cyclops is the ineffective, by-the-book police chief that you're supposed to dislike because he keeps holding back the effective, rule-breaking detective Wolverine, who is the protagonist of the story. On the other hand, Leo and Raph are sibling rivals who hold different worldviews. One of those views is not depicted as being inherently superior to the other. They're just different, each with their own pros and cons. Also, since writing my first post, I had been considering Colossus as counterpart to Michelangelo because they both come across as fairly good-natured, laid-back individuals.
Can we watch Ninja Turtles instead tonight?
The rap.
The rap.
Oh, my God.
It's Christmas Eve and all my friends are here. Wrapping up presents, it happens once a year. I do my best when I'm wrapping my gifts. I take a lot of pride when I put the gift inside of the wrap. Wrap, wrap, wrap. Yeah, come on, say it again, y'all. The wrap, 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 wrap. Yeah, yeah. It takes time and it takes a lot of caring. Put the ribbon on, feels good when you're sharing. I do my best when I'm wrapping my gifts. I take a lot of pride when I put the gift inside of the wrap, 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 wrap. Aw, yeah, say it again. The wrap, 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 wrap. Come on, here we go, here we go. I'm a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle rapper, rap it tight. It'll feel so good if I can rap them all tonight. But I'll do my best when I'm wrapping my gift. I take a lot of pride when I put the gift inside of the wrap.
Yeah, say it again, y'all, the rap rap. Rap rap. Say it again. Rap rap. Rap rap. Yeah.
Also, just so you know, the entire time that Isabel was talking about leadership, I only heard in my head, he's the leader of the bunch.
Oh, yes.
Which is a clip I think you should use.
I don't know what that is.
That is from the Donkey Kong rap in the beginning of
Donkey Kong 64.
Yep. Yep.
He's the first member
of the DK crew.
DK. Donkey Kong.
Huh. Can we play which Donkey X-Men Kong match now? Which Mario world character, sorry.
Okay, yeah, I could be down for that.
Okay, the evening has changed. We are watching Ninja Turtles and playing Donkey Kong.
We need this for every fandom now, okay?
Alright, so get to it, listeners. Martin Gray, Crossfire, he says, I like the crotch cross, but the guy reeks of ego. I'd simply steal his trunks and run away. Crusader, a big flappy loincloth and tight chainmail. Yep, mega hot. It'd be fun to persuade him to play pagan. Crystal, cute, but smells of baby vomit, and I bet her hair is full of static from throwing electrical bolts.
That's a mom's life.
Sybil, hot if you like drag queens. Well, there's something Stevie Nicks about it.
Yeah, I can definitely see
Cyclops, hot when drawn by John Byrne in the Savage Land, shirtless and hairy, and then never again. Your whimsical notion of Scott on a rotating chair working as a lighthouse is hilarious. Beat that. Then we have Ward Hill Terry, who says, I love this podcast. The ladies' take on the characters are delightful, even when they disparage one I used to be fond of. I had stopped collecting by the time Ohatmu came out, and I'm discovering many of these characters for the first time myself, but now I overthink things, like the Crusader. I can accept there are supernatural forces in Marvel Comics, and I can accept that gods walk the earth, but once that layer is peeled back just a little, it drives me nuts. Just what supernatural force exactly gave the Crusader his powers? His actions and motivations are the antithesis of Christianity. I can't accept that Jesus said, go down there and kick some pagan ass. Likewise, it wouldn't be the God whose name must not be spoken, aka Yahweh, aka Father of Jesus. There are certainly many people in the country who purport to be Christian, yet don't ever show it by their actions, but the Crusader takes it too far, even for a funny book. However, I would love to read what someone like Neil Gaiman would do with such a concept. And I agree with him that he's visited by the ghosts of his ancestors. That's not a Christian idea.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. It's kind of like somebody kind of just combined a bunch of different mythological stuff. It's like, yeah, this happens in some religion.
Yeah, I'd like to think it's like Loki raises some ghosts and go troll this guy and turn him into a villain for Thor. Yeah. Manipulate this guy. Yeah. You know?
Well, that makes more sense, actually.
Than what we...
Because, yeah, you know. It just sounds like someone that wasn't actually religious was just like, yo, it's this dude, and then the ghost, and yeah.
Lots of crosses.
But it makes sense that another religion would sort of use his faith to...
Yeah, it seems like his zealotry.
Yeah.
Like he's cultish in his verve. I use the word verve.
Verve.
So...
Then we have John Hennings, who says, original Cyclops was never too mature. He could have loosened up if he were. He was the insecure kid trying to be mature.
Even worse.
Gross. Of course, now he's just belligerent, militant, and insufferably superior. He was more likable in his earnest hall monitor mode. And I agree with all the thoughts and feelings on Crystal, a charming and sympathetic character with an unfortunate affinity for arrogant egotists. At least they're well-meaning, and they've both mellowed since. Quicksilver, as portrayed in Avengers Academy, had even learned some life lessons. And then Tim Price says, I'm glad the ladies gave Crystal a hot, although now I'll forever be thinking Charlie Brown Airbender. Yay! It made me smile that the gang knew Avatar The Last Airbender. My daughters just discovered the show, and we're having a great time watching it together. But my girls are too young for this podcast.
Yeah. I'm sure that's true.
Family friendly, not so much.
Not so much. And then Facebook likes and shares from Abel Padilla, D Bash, Gene Hendricks, Jared West, Keith Mason, who says, new Ohatmu, fantastic news. Max Romero, who says, this show is consistently fun and funny, and this episode is no exception. Rob Kelly, Ruth Sutherland, Sean Emmons, Terrence Castonguay, Van Zee, and Zachary Finkenstein on Google Plus, The Hammer Strikes, and on Twitter, retweets and favorites from Ange Bat Bookworm, who says Cyclops, one of the worst costumes ever.
Agreed.
Cash Flag, Comic Reflections, Daniel R. Budnick, David Gallagher, who says Cyclops, not. And he's a comic book pro. He's an actual comic book writer. So
if we agree with the comic book pro, that means we're a comic book pro.
Okay.
A equals B. B equals C.
Digest Cast, Earth to Chris, Film and Water Podcast, Howler Mouse. It's Plastic Man. He says, Crossfire's belt looks uncomfortable.
Yes, it does. Like, imagine running in that.
How do you crime fight in that?
Very carefully. Or you need to tape everything before you leave.
Justice's First Dawn, Little Stuffed Bull. Martin Gray, he says here, I bet they have something to say about Crossfire's crotch-cutting belt. So this is before you listen to the episode. Marty Light, Max Romero, who says, always a fun podcast. Papi Nacho, who says, wish they thought of this podcasting format for Who's Who. Sorry, Shag and Rob. Pod Dylan... Rob Kelly Creative, who says Cyclops hot.
Ooh,
controversy.
We don't agree.
Stacy Nixon, Superman Movie Minute, Terrence Castonguay, Tim Price, Treasury Comics, Two True Freaks, and the Wild Dog Podcast. If I've forgotten anyone, I apologize.
But thank you for all the likes and comments.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Say goodbye.
Bye. We love you.
Leave us comments wherever you can find the podcast, whether the Fire and Water Network website, the Fire and Water Network Facebook page, or through Twitter. The hashtag is FWPodcasts, plural. We'd love to hear from you about, well, I guess these four characters and concepts, but on the show in general. Until next time, be hot, don't be not.
I gotta sneeze.
Oh, but if you all look at me, I won't sneeze.
Well, then that's great.
No. Problem solved.
Done.